Welcome back, everyone. This is Eric Ellefson with the Digital Education Podcast. Today, I'm blessed in the new year to start off the new year with a conversation with Shannon Burke. Shannon is the founder and chief executive officer of Engage to Learn. She works with communities across the U.S. to design strategic and innovative learning solutions. Shannon's solutions are grounded in proven best practices that focus on systems thinking and future-ready skills. My favorite is implemented scalable, effective coaching processes for educators on change, conflict resolution, and communication, all which we're not good at. But Shannon, really, I wanted to jump right in and ask you a question. I really appreciate your time today and in the new year. You talk on the website, and then some of what you do is the modernization of public schools and the learner experience. I think, you know, I look at education reform, I look at where teachers are, I look at all the talk, and there's a fatigue and there's a frustration around these types of things. And so I'm just kind of wondering from you, where do you get excited? Where do you find hope? And then how did you kind of come up with this place where it's like, you know what, I'm going to go after the modernization of public education and the learner experience?
Well, I was an educator myself. So I started out as a teacher and I loved teaching. My favorite job ever, still miss it to this day. Taught high school. We moved around a lot. My husband coached college basketball. So we moved 10 times in 16 years. And so I got to see a lot of different school systems and then became an administrator. And when I started Engage to Learn, it was really about the power of the neighborhood public school, what that can mean for not just the learners and not just the teachers and the administrators in that school, but for the entire community. Because the neighborhood public school as the heart of a community can be really dynamic and create a very robust, you know, entire ecosystem. So that was the idea, is what can we do for that neighborhood public school? And education changes slowly, and really in some ways it should, right? You're talking about people's lives. So experimenting on the cutting edge is probably not the best thing to do, but we are in a time where we know a lot more about the brain, and we have these amazing tools available to us that help us to modernize the learner experience. And obviously part of that is being able to modernize practice. You know, what are we doing in the amazing craft and profession of teaching and learning? And so we just, as a team, we just really have a mission to support teachers. So many teachers and administrators, educators want to do this. And really what it takes to do it is not, ooh, who has the best idea? It's really, how do you have a system that can support teachers and leaders as they go through this process of modernizing their practice? How do they integrate these tools effectively? How do they engage student voice? And that's one of the best ways to learn how to modernize, is to engage students in the process and get their voice involved. So those processes are the kinds of things that we've put together and been really honored to be able to work with so many school districts to help them really support that process of when they're trying to modernize that learner experience and make it more engaging and more effective and make sure that kids are ready for life. So,
and on the blog, on your website, in the blog, there was I remember seeing an article about, you know, kind of a bright place in some dark world, right? Where are you seeing some really cool stuff happening, whether you can be specific or just even in general areas or general topics? Like, you know, I've visited here, I've been here, we got to work with these people, and this is some really cool stuff that's going on in our profession and in our world.
Well, I love that question, Eric, because one of the things I think that people don't realize is just how many amazing things are happening in public education in places that you might not expect. So because we're really mission focused with this, and because we want to make sure that people can see that public education can be a great choice for families, we know that there are certain places where it might have more impact for us to work. And so we are working in some large urban districts that people might think this would be a great place to have their kids in school. But what we're finding is when you put the right processes in place and you have the right vision, and the community is so much for revitalizing those schools or modernizing, like we're talking about, that you can have some amazing success. So there's a lot of hope. I think that is maybe one of the primary things that we like to put forward. There, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, there were a lot of provocateurs out there, and there still are today, that were trying to criticize education, I think for the most part with good intent, to say we need to make some changes, you know, trying to stimulate some change. I don't think that's necessary today. I think we all understand why we need to modernize. What I think people need to see today is the models of that that are already happening in, again, in places that people might not expect. So to be specific, I would say, first of all, I mean, we're seeing this in large urban districts. We're seeing this in mid-urban districts. We're seeing it in suburban districts, because suburban districts may look modern, but if you go in classrooms, a lot of times what you'll see is kids are bored, and it's not a modern experience. It just looks good. But when you get really down to it, they're not necessarily engaged in using their minds in ways that will really ensure that they're ready for life. So, but we're seeing that change in suburban districts, and then even in rural districts. There are, you know, small school districts, which most of the school districts in this country are small school districts, where we're seeing great vision and leadership and community support in this thriving ecosystem happen as people modernize that experience and move forward. So to be even more specific, I mean, I could name some districts for you if you want to have that conversation too. So one that comes to mind is a mid-urban district in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, Mesquite ISD, who we're in our third year of a partnership with Mesquite ISD. The superintendent, David Broomlin, that came in, really had a vision for changing from a kind of a compliance culture to a real culture of ownership and engaging people at all levels of the system, including the community, again, to create this really innovative and connected ecosystem. And we're really fortunate to be their partner in that process. This was all couched in an idea of, can we increase literacy? You know, how can we have more kids on grade level reading, as we know that that's a key to really everything else in terms of education. And so we've been in that partnership for about 3 years. We've seen great changes in the scores, but really more than that, we've seen a real culture shift in the district to where at every level of the system, people are owning it, including community, who is really partnering with the district to make these things a reality. But you see teachers and learners and families just really engaged and excited about what's happening in those schools every day. So I think that's a great example. El Paso ISD is another great example. El Paso has, you know, a very demographically challenging school district. They have an infamous past, if you will, with some things that have happened in that district that were, you know, broadcast, of course, and on the news with scandal and all kinds of things. And with new leadership coming in there, and Juan Cabrera as the superintendent and the school board, they've had some great leadership. And again, we've been fortunate to be their partner there and really institute a very aggressive training and coaching program, coaching every single teacher over the course of 5 years. One of the things I love about the vision in that district is that rather than just trying to rejuvenate the district through some innovative programs here and there, the goal there is that you will have a modernized and effective, engaging learner experience regardless of your zip code. So this is not just going to happen in one campus, and this is not just going to happen if you're lucky enough to be in this choice program, but every single classroom across the district will have this kind of experience, and learners will get to have this kind of experience. And so we're working in that district over a five-year period to work with every single teacher, and they're providing the support for teachers to make this happen through ongoing coaching. So those are some large urbans. Fort Worth ISD is another one of those. At Arlington ISD, there's some large urban districts that are doing this kind of work. But again, there's some suburban districts like Friendship ISD outside of Lubbock that, same thing, they're really focused on both short-term and long-term goals for students and making sure that experience is modernized to the point that those kids really have an advantage and they're able to, they have life ready skills when they leave that district. So that's been exciting to see. And I could, you know, I could name probably, you know, 45 that we're working with this year that I could give you those kind of, and I would love to name every single one of them. We have even some rural districts that we're working with that are doing a great job, like Hussman ISD, for example, where they had some changes they were going to make to facilities and modernizing those facilities. And we have a process where when you're going to do that, we help you also think about what would learning look like in that space, right? And so we've been working with them on that and help them develop a framework that they're implementing that matches that modernized facility, that experience utilizes that modernized facility. And then the same with, you know, people implementing new technologies and helping work with those districts. You're going to bring all these tools in. How do you make sure that that learner experience is integrated and teachers are supported in doing that through these tools? So getting that, you know, the learning environment and the tools and then the learner and teacher experience all aligned and supporting that is really, it's exciting to see these things. And we love to bring people to these places to, you know, to see it in action, because you really can't describe it until you see students doing the kinds of things that, you know, in kindergarten that you wish your own kids were doing.
Yeah. Well, and it's always amazing to get to that place where it's like, oh, we wish we could. And there is this encouragement to kind of step over that line to be able to say, hey, let me show you a place that is. And, you know, and to be able to take those lessons and to be able to get excited because, okay, if I can see it in action, then I can do it. I want to ask you, you know, as you talk about so many different things, you hit on culture, you hit on, you know, kind of coaching. And on your website, it says, you know, you grow leaders, communities, students, you know, through, you know, designing culture and coaching for innovation. And there seems to be a really significant sense of purposefulness, you know, an emphasis on integration of, you know, culture and innovation, whether it be technology, facilities, just the change process in a designed way, in a purposeful way. And then I think the thing that, you know, listening to you, it seems like these are long-term relationships. And I like how you use the term partnerships, because in education, so often we've gotten used to, and I think probably maybe speaking for you, maybe one of the frustrations is there are people that come in and they give a little bit of excitement and then they leave and it's all up to you. Like how did you, and how have you seen this kind of unfold and unravel and kind of build this very seemingly what it looks like to me from the outside is very intentional, very purposeful, very integrated, and a really focus on, you know, building strong cultures and designing the culture around those things and then coaching people through the process and coaching them for those innovative approaches. It's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah, but you're so insightful. So it is... Well, we believe at Engage to Learn, and it's because of our past experience. Every one of us has been an educator. So we've all been part of the system. And so from the inception, really, our goal was to make sure that there was some long-term impact. Long-term impact, not just for learners, but certainly for learners, but then also to ensure that there was something sustainable for the whole system, that this was not one more initiative, one more thing. And that was really a focus from the beginning. And so we've developed what we call a culture-based change management methodology. And when we, you know, we're not the right partner for every school district, because we don't really want to work with a school district that they just want to do the new thing every year. We want to work with a school district that really wants to make a culture shift. And so, you know, teachers feel the burden and campus leaders, and we all did when we were in the system, of piling initiatives on. And it's all, again, with good intention, but that does not engender a sustainable, effective culture shift. What that creates is stress. And there are a lot of great programs out there and a lot of great initiatives, a lot of great things to do for kids. So it's hard to choose. But we really, when we start partnering with a district, we help them more than anything focus and try to narrow down to, you know, what are the few key non-negotiables that are going to match in this local context, what's your local vision going to be? We're not a program, but we want to help you decide what is your local vision. And then, like you mentioned, part of the culture shift is, you know, coaching people to make the change, not saying, hey, go to this 3-day training and, you know, everything's going to be great. But what is that, you know, how can we work with you over time in a job embedded way so that when you try something and you need a tweak on that or a change on that, there's a resource there available to you. And so we want to make sure we're supporting teachers in those shifts. And we just see the connectedness, I guess, of the whole ecosystem. And if we don't address it that way, then we continue working in silos and we continue piling things on, and we are not able to make progress that actually ends up having an impact on kids short-term or long-term. So we've been fortunate to have partners, to find partners that understand this and understand that culture shift is really what they're after. And then, you know, we try to work ourselves out of a job. It's like, so how do we create capacity in the system to continue that? We just want to, get you launched, right? And we want to help you with that culture shift. And then when you get to a tipping point, you know, you're able to sustain that as a district, and that's the way it should be. So connecting to the community is important because the community really, those are the stakeholders for the school district. And so them being able to be part of that design work and part of setting the measurables, you know, what do we really value as a community? And then how are we going to go after that in what we do in the learner experience every day, the 16,000 hours that they spend in school? You know, how is that learner experience actually going to contribute to something on the other end that makes them ready for life? So it's exciting to get to work at that level of the system, and we're humbled by that responsibility and opportunity, but very excited about the results we see and what that means for all of education.
You've mentioned a couple times, you know, community and students. I think that's one of the hardest things is how do we build a trust-based, and I know one of your values, you know, or cultural tenets as an organization is trust. But how do I, you know, if I'm a school leader and I've been there and you're going through a change process and you got to go through this modernization process because you know what you have is not going to meet the needs for maybe even today, let alone tomorrow. And you've got to do it in a sense of urgency, a sense of quickness. You know, there might be people that, you know, I was blessed to have a lot of, you know, adults and professionals in the building who were on board with a modernization process. But sometimes the hardest part about the change process, I'll leave the students out of this for now because I think they're excited for it and they want it. But how do you bring the community along that has so much, you know, because these schools are powerful community organizations and they've had experiences there and they remember when they went there, or they remember the good old days, or they remember, and I think in education we kind of lend ourselves to everyone's an expert or has some sort of expertise because they've experienced it. How do you create the trust, or how do you go about doing that where as a leader you can give up significant control but yet retain, you know, the momentum and retain the goal of going forward and inviting more people into the broader significance of this process?
That is such a great question. And, you know, I'm sure you've heard this before too, Eric, that, you know, people are for every person, regardless of where you fall on the spectrum, people are the most conservative about their own kids. And in regards to their own kids, they're the most conservative about their kids' school. So when it comes to thinking about school, you know, and change in school, you know, my own brother, I won't give him the link to this podcast, but my own brother is like super conservative, and he and I are in these battles, and I'm like, you know, I as a person, you know, I wouldn't say that, you know, it's not about that, I guess, is what we try to help people understand. So when we connect with a community, we want them to understand that, and really it's just by asking a question. I'll tell you, it's just by asking a question. The question is, what are you hoping for learners? And whether that's your own kids or it's the, you know, the future of your community and the students that live here, what are your highest hopes for learners? What are you hoping for? And that question really unites people, because what we find is when people, even though people think they may be at odds with each other and what they believe or what they value, when you ask that question, it really brings people together because they know what they want for learners. They know that our youth need the tools to thrive. And that's as simply as I can say it, that's what people want. And then we just say, okay, well, let's backwards design that, right? If we want your own students, your own kids, I see pictures of your kids, and you know, it's like, you know, if you think about those kids that you love, I have two of my own, and one just started her job and one just graduated from high school and went to college. One graduated from college and started a job. So they're both in these times of life that, like, you know, you pray and you hope, I pray and I hope every day that they have what they need to thrive in their work life and in their personal relationships. That's what we want. And so when we start from that place with a community, and then we backwards design. So if we want them to thrive, what skills do they really need to be able to do that in today's context? And like you mentioned, it's not for their future. It's for today. Our kids are dealing with trauma. They're dealing with exposure to sophisticated media that they have to be able to have discernment that they've never, you know, and it's not, you can't even, you know, you can't rely on some of the things like your parents to show you all the time, because that technology and that media is available to you, you know, at the click of a button, any place, anytime. So what are those skills that they need today to be able to thrive? And then if you go from that backwards to, okay, if they need those skills, then what do we need to be doing every day? Because we've got, again, you know, 16,000 hours of their time, of their youth in schools. What do we need to be doing in that time to make sure that they are ready to thrive? And, you know, it comes from a place when people think about it that way. I think they realize, they discover for themselves, here are some of the changes in the system that we probably need to make sure that we're not setting these kids up for failure. And in fact, we're setting them up for success in life. And it's not about competing with other people. It's actually about collaborating with other people, but it's really about every single learner being ready for life today, which is important, and then also for their future. So we start from that place, and there's a, you know, we can do that in a big public forum or in a small focus group or in a coffee talk, or we can share those questions and that concept with campus leaders or district leaders, anybody that's wanting to engage their community. And if you start from that place and backwards design it, you know, we know that it's a symbiotic relationship between the community and the schools. And we have to, for anything that we design or plan to be actionable, we have to discover the solutions together, you know, in the context of the local community. And so that's really our focus. And again, we've been really humbled to be able to work with so many communities and hear the amazing ideas, their hearts and minds that they have for the kids in their communities, in their schools, even with people that don't have kids in school. What they want for those kids and what they're willing to commit to help make that happen is really exciting, and it's beautiful to see in action.
Yeah, Shannon, thank you so much for your time and expertise and passion. I have so many more questions, so maybe some there down the road, you know, we can have another conversation, because there's so much that I'd love to dig deep into. And what's a way for people to get more information about your work, your writing, your organization, and the things that you do, and, you know, and suggestions for people to kind of, you know, learn more about some of the stuff that you're working on?
Well, you mentioned our website. Of course, that's one way, the www.engagethenumber2learn.org. We do have a lot of blogs up there that might be useful. We have a lot of free resources on the site to help folks, and we're always glad to share any resources that would be helpful. We really do believe that this is the key to enhancing and maintaining quality of life, and so for everyone. So we're glad to share any of that as well. And I would love to talk with you again, Eric, because you ask all these questions that make me very passionate, and it's exciting to visit with you about these things. So
no, it's
love to visit again.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And I'll make sure that as I send out information that, you know, I connect it with your website. And it was such a pleasure for me even going through. And I think it's an encouragement. You know, I'll just even say this to anybody who's listening, that, you know, the cultural tenets that you set out and that you placed it through, there's a statement on your website that says, we even practice what we take other people through. And so I think that's oftentimes what organizations say, hey, here's what you do, or here's what we can do to you or with you, but they don't actually experience it or go through the process themselves. And so that's a whole different conversation, whole different set of questions that I'd love to ask sometimes. So thank you, and happy 2019.
Thank you, Eric. Same to you.